Welcome to the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Good morning if you're in America, good afternoon if you're in the UK, good evening if you're in India, and it's a very late evening if you're in the Pacific area. So you're very welcome if you're listening. And yeah, we're in autumn now, definitely. And before I turn to all the newspapers and to my special guest today, Dr. Rachel Cady, who I'm very happy to welcome into the studio, I just want to say that I find this time of year hard. I have always experienced just a touch of SAD at this time of year, and life can feel like I'm wading through treacle. And if you feel like that, it's so important to take some time out to take care of yourself. And one of those things is learning to say no to things. There were a couple of things I had in my schedule this week that I had to turn around and say, no, I'm not doing that, because actually I need to go for a walk, or I need a bit of a rest, or I need to get some sunshine. And in a very busy schedule today, I've actually been out and had lunch with a friend of mine because I just needed it. So if you're feeling tired, don't think I need to power on through this. It's up to me to keep going. Give yourself a bit of a break, because at this time of year, your body's saying, let's just calm it down a bit, ready for the winter. If you don't feel like that, great, well done. But I'm just sharing my experience with you. So let's turn to what's in the press this week. Last week, when I had Kate Usher on the show, and if you missed that interview, do go. It's very lively, very chatty. You can find it again on talkradio.nyc, Hot Women Rock. The recording is there. We said that we just spotted in the press that ASOS, the online fashion retailer, was going to give their staff menopause leave if they wanted it. And inevitably, you get pushback when you see that sort of thing. And often the pushback comes from other women. And this one is in the Evening Standard this week, a British newspaper, Melanie McDonough, saying it'll be interesting to see how many takers there will be for ASOS's exciting new workplace policy. It's offering its staff 10 days paid menopause leave. My bet is that the number of women who will be keen to share their gynecological vicissitudes with their manager will be few. Several of my peers declined to admit to the menopause on the ground it identifies them as hormonal oldies. I'm not old. Anyway, moving on. Will there be a rush for women to out themselves as old in an industry like fashion where there's a premium on youth? It may seem churlish to suggest that this initiative will, so far from making life easier for women, actually make things worse. What I mean is that it's one more ground for employers to see women as trouble, forever wanting time off to have babies and now for no longer being able to have them. Once older women were a safe bet for employers on the basis that they wouldn't be looking for maternity leave, now they may manifest a different set of women's problems. The answer to this isn't to keep quiet, it's to normalise the conversation so it's not a big thing. People felt like this when mental health in the workplace was being discussed. Oh, I better not discuss it in case that rules me out from employment. Instead of, I've got something that I can bring to this job. I just need a bit of support while I'm going through some issues. So, yep, we can always expect pushback on things, but if we don't talk about them, nothing changes, and that's not how things get any better. Off the soapbox for the moment. The Independent, World Perimenopause Day, symptoms can begin long before your periods stop and it's impacting women's mental health. We're finally starting to talk about menopause, but what about perimenopause? And I think this is a definition thing, because often when women are talking about menopause, they're not talking about the one day when their period stopped, or the definition of menopause being a year after your period stopped. When people talk about menopause, they're talking about the whole time when changes happen. Technically, that's your perimenopause, because you're starting to experience symptoms. So if you're getting a bit confused, don't worry about it. Those years leading up to menopause are called your perimenopause. But most people, when they're talking about menopause, are thinking about the whole time of change. But it can start in your early 40s, and that's the important thing that you need to understand. The article also says, for 58% of women, low energy and motivation were the main issues, where 53% said it was low mood and depression. along with anxiety, anger, and mood swings. One in 10 even said they had suicidal thoughts. That's really important to know. It's important to understand if you're thinking, where is this coming from? It could be that you're in perimenopause. And it's worrying to think that that many women have suicidal thoughts. And part of it is because it's not talked about, they're not getting support, and they don't really understand what's happening. So support your women friends who are going through this. On WTVA website, the Countess of Wessex is getting real about menopause, why her groundbreaking message matters. There are always celebrities who come out to be talking about menopause, and that's great because it gets it in the press. And I think just about every newspaper, periodical, magazine has reported the Countess of Wessex's views on this. So it's great that she's getting it out there. 56-year-old Sophie, we're getting personal now, first drew attention to the subject of menopause back in May when she described the transition as feeling like someone had taken her brain out. When we're told that we're going to begin our periods, are we actually told that we're going to end them as well? And I think that is something that women don't really grasp. She was talking to Wellbeing of Women charity. It's the first time a member of the royal family has openly shared her experiences of periods and menopause. This week, Sophie issued a call to action. She wants businesses to do more to support women going through menopause, which often happens at a point in their lives when their careers should be peaking. Well done, Sophie, Countess of Wessex. It's good to get it out there. I really wanted lots of things about hormone replacement therapy today, as that's going to be our subject with Dr. Rachel. So this one, Cure Today, talks about the effects of early menopause from cancer treatment may be erased with hormone replacement therapy. So hormone replacement therapy in women with early and premature menopause can reduce early mortality rates, heart disease, stroke, cognitive impairment, and dementia, according to an expert. Also osteoporosis if you're going into early menopause. Of note, hormone replacement therapy does not reduce the risk of anxiety, depression, or early onset of Parkinson's disease, which are all possible side effects of early and premature menopause. We'll check in with that with Dr. Rachel. So this is, who's talking? Dr. Anne L. Steiner, director and founder of the Menopause Clinic at Penn Medicine in Philadelphia. Steiner emphasized that there are no current studies that demonstrate an increased risk of breast cancer or peritoneal cancer with hormone replacement therapy. She said the risk-benefit balance is definitely in favor of hormone replacement therapy prior to the age of 50 or 51. Lots more in that article, but I want to get to the next one, which caught my eye today. News Medical Net, menopausal hormone therapy and dementia. It was an interview with Dr. Jana Vinogradova about her latest research into menopausal hormone therapy, MHT. Same thing we're talking about, it's just a new term. And it's unassociated risk of dementia. What provoked the latest research? And she said, we've been involved in a very large observational study into drug risks for some time. This is our third study investigating serious side effects associated with MHT. Early studies had reported problems such as venous thromboembolism, VTE, and breast cancer, and this has caused a decline in the use of the therapy, which has persisted. In 2015, the UK's National Institute of Clinical Excellence issued new guidelines recommending the wider use of MHT, at the same time calling for more detailed research into the risks of serious side effects. Because they were the side effects most commonly known and discussed, our first studies into MHT addressed the additional risks of VTE and breast cancer. This third study on dementia was triggered by existing inconsistent research on additional risks of developing dementia associated with MHT. So I'm going to stop talking about that article now so I can come straight to Dr. Rachel. Dr. Rachel, I had been seeing research into the benefits of estrogen at this stage of life rather than the further risks of dementia. Can you give us a quick potted history into what's going on here. Unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
Okay, great.
excellent.
Thank you. Yes, that's an excellent question, Pat. And it's really hard to navigate the data on that. But that is really sort of the leading idea at this point. And to your point, the research just hasn't been there. And so to get the real final answer, if you will, is going to involve longitudinal studies, meaning ongoing studies where you're following women from their 40s, in that early pre sort of perimenopausal age frame on to when women usually develop Alzheimer's, which is much later in life. And so to get the real answer, it's going to be doing those longitudinal studies, which have been woefully lacking, but are finally underway. And so the leading sort of thought at this point is that the onset of when you're taking hormone therapy is really what's determining if it's actually a risk factor for dementia or actually maybe protective. And so just at this year's North American Menopause Society conference, that was brought up that it's kind of some encouraging information about using hormone replacement therapy in younger women, meaning women in their late 40s and their 50s, that those women on brain scan had fewer amyloid deposits or what's seen in women with Alzheimer's. And so they actually, their brains, if you will, actually looked better being on hormones compared to the non, as far as from dementia type changes. And so it probably is a timing effect, meaning earlier is better. We know that Alzheimer's patients affects that it's 2-to-1 ratio as far as for women to men, and that Alzheimer's changes start 20 years before you get clinical manifestations. And so something is going on in women in their perimenopausal years.
Yeah, that is a big subject. So we're going to come back to all of that and all of the risks and benefits of hormone therapy. So join us after the break when I'll be introducing Dr. Rachel more formally, and we'll be finding out why she finds this subject so interesting. Join us after the break.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And just before the break, we started to talk about hormone replacement therapy and the research that's going on into dementia and Alzheimer's, which I think is really important work. So let me introduce my amazing guest today, Dr. Rachel Cady, and she's the director of the Menopause and Healthy Aging Program at, and now I can't say the next word, is it CUNA?
Yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it? CUNA Regional Medical Center. We're in Minnesota, USA.
I should have asked you that beforehand.
Yeah, that's okay.
Her areas of expertise include menopause care, sexual medicine, vulva disorders, pelvic pain, pelvic floor rehab and incontinence, and minimally invasive surgery. She's a certified menopause practitioner and provides specialized care to women to help them address the many issues and symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. She is a fellow of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and an active member of the North American Menopause Society. In fact, she is just back from their annual conference, so we can ask her about that. And she's in lots of other societies as well. And she's passionate about providing collaborative care for patients. I love that, collaborative care, not this is what you're getting and that's it. So Dr. Rachel, how did you get interested in this? So when you left college, were you straight into medical practice?
Correct. Yes, I went onto medical school and residency for OBGYN. And I think that I was no different than the majority of physicians finishing their residency programs. And we know the latest data shows that about 80% of residents finishing training don't feel qualified to address menopause issues. And so I realized that, you know, it's like we deliver a lot of babies in OBGYN residencies and do hysterectomies. But as far as menopause midlife care, it was definitely lacking. And so fortunately, there's, for those who are interested, there's a lot of post-residency training. And I just found that passion and just have really, really enjoyed it and have a huge admiration for people who've come before me as far as leading the way in menopause medicine for what's the fastest growing segment of our population here in the US. And so growing massive need.
Yeah, and I think this is the issue here in the UK, is that in the past 18 months, there's been lots more discussion about menopause, which is great. It's being talked about a lot more. And with that comes a realization that most doctors in general practice have hardly any training in this area at all, like 4 hours of training, unless they've done some post-qualification experience in it. And we know it's complicated, you know, it's not one symptom. There's a whole load of symptoms that could be something else as well. So we're not saying it's easy. And if you haven't had specific training in it, it must be really difficult to spot what's going on immediately. So, sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, right. No, I think it is for physicians and for general population, sort of navigating that as a source of frustration. And so if nothing else, if I can be sort of a guide on somebody's journey, or at least giving them the right directions, the accurate sources to go to, then that's something that that's my goal.
Yeah, and Kate Usher on the show last week talked about creating a gateway or a pathway to support. And I think that's that. I think that's a lovely idea that, you know, you might not know everything as a practitioner, and you can guide people down a path so they can find what they want. So in your clinic, what sort of age of women are you seeing there?
So typically I'll start seeing women oftentimes in their early 40s. And when they come in, it's often they don't know that they're experiencing perimenopausal symptoms. And so that's, you know, first and foremost, a big myth. Well, I'm still having my cycles. And I'm not really getting hot flashes, but I feel more irritated or I'm not sleeping well. I mean, they're sort of getting these different type symptoms. And to be clear, not everything is estrogen related. I mean, you know, we do want to not reduce women to ovarian hormones, but oftentimes it is. And so women aren't even aware of the term perimenopause because it's simply not talked about. It's not that they are lacking in some way or deficient. It's just we have all sorts of hype about sex education in our earlier years in school, prenatal classes for women who've chosen to have children, but there's no clear path, to your point, for menopause education. So they come in with different symptoms or irregular cycles, mood swings, brain fog, and those symptoms typically will manifest about 5 to 7 years before the actual onset of menopause. So they're just like, what's going on with me? Is it something hormonal? And so, and the short answer is many times the answer is yes, you know, and so we kind of start down that workup.
Yeah. And I think there can be this misunderstanding of, well, because women don't talk about it, their mothers don't talk about it, their sisters don't talk about it, nobody talks about it, that you can start to experience something and you have an idea of what menopause is. It's when your period stops. So you might think, oh, well, they'll just get less and less and less and less frequent, and then they'll stop and I'll have hot flushes and that'll be that. And of course, they might get, your periods might get heavier, they might get lighter, they might get less frequent, they might get more frequent.
Right.
And then any one of a whole basket of symptoms might arise. I mean, my period stayed absolutely regular until they stopped.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like every 30 days and then it stopped.
Wow. Yeah. That's unusual.
I know.
I mean, it's nothing wrong with it.
No.
But wide variation of normal.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. If you're experiencing something, don't think, I shouldn't talk about it, this is a bit embarrassing. Your menopause is your menopause. It could be anything. So give us some highlights from the North American Menopause Society. What were the hot topics on menopause?
Right. So hot topics on menopause this year is really kind of some highlights from ongoing research. Primarily, we're talking a little bit about early use of hormone therapy as far as how it can help in certain areas. And the American Heart Association has actually come out with that using hormone therapy earlier on in your late perimenopause, early menopause years is actually cardioprotective. Mm-hmm. Those women had less heart disease. That is not true later in life. Also, some new guidelines about being proactive for bone health. At least in the US, we don't typically start screening with bone densitometry DEXA scans until after age 65. But we know that for a great deal of women, they have risk factors that really they need to be screened beforehand. And sometimes, you know, it involves taking your health into your own hands a little bit, where you can get on the computer and figure out your FRAX score, that's F-R-A-X, and seeing if you're one of those women. So those guidelines changed as well in the last year, as far as, you know what, you likely might be a person that needs to be screened beforehand. And we care about that because osteoporosis is a horrible silent disease. If you're starting to shrink in height, you probably have osteoporosis. That is not a normal, or I guess it's a common part of aging, but it should not be an acceptable part of aging.
I'll just jump in there because at the weekend I was taking part in a menopause workshop, and one of the women who'd facilitated it, and she broke her foot, well, broke a bone in her ankle 3 months back, 4 months ago, and couldn't understand. It just seemed such a silly way to break her foot. She hadn't fallen over or anything.
Yeah.
And she said when she was tested, she's got osteoporosis. Now, I don't know how old she is. I think she's probably in her early to mid 50s. I hope she's not listening and she's a lot younger. But she said she went through menopause and it was really easy. And she was just like saying to everybody, oh, it's not a problem. I've gone through it. And now she realizes, well, she understands she's got osteoporosis. And she said to me, I'm actually grateful that I broke that bone because now I know I've got an issue, because otherwise this could have got a lot worse. And now she's getting treatment. So Monday is World Menopause Awareness Day. And the theme this year is bone health.
Yes.
And this is absolutely crucial for women because, as Dr. Rachel says, you know, if you're starting to lose height and get this bending over posture, which comes with the spine gradually bending, it could be osteoporosis. So taking care of our bones is really interesting and really important. Yes. Okay, back to you.
Yeah. No, that good point. If you have a fragility fracture, meaning a spontaneous fracture, you don't know why you have osteoporosis until proven otherwise. Mm-hmm. A big thing too this year is on genetic testing. As far as, you know, we all know, we have family history of breast cancer, family history of this or that. Well, what can we do to sort of mitigate that, genetics? We can't change our genetics at this point anyway. And so, genetic testing for women at higher risk of breast cancer, the newer guidelines are a lot more of us need to be tested than are, and that comes from the NCCN website. I won't go into too much detail with that. Also, just a quick word, two things, as far as an update on hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, low sexual desire affects about 40 to 50% of particularly perimenopausal women, menopausal, I would say it's actually more like 99%, but that there is actually, thanks to Mayo Clinic and some other societies like ISWISH, actually now a process of care of how to approach postmenopausal women. And so that has been updated in this last year and it's available online. So, you know, there actually is a process of care finally in the year 2021 to address what affects basically all women at some point in their life as a big quality of life issue. The other thing too is role of estrogen for perimenopausal depression. That is actually part of process of care as well too, found to be very beneficial.
Yeah.
Just a few highlights.
Wow. I know. I want to talk
get to the references so people can look back at this. I'm talking too fast. But
No, because there's so much I want to know.
Yeah.
So after the break, we'll be talking about the benefits and the risks of HRT, because it can be very confusing for women at a time when we're already confused and we want just somebody to tell us, what should I do? How should I do it? So join us after the break for even more information about HRT. See you then.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a cannabis enthusiast, a cannabis professional, or interested in entering the cannabis space? I'm Johnny Tsunami, and this is Planet Baco Lolo, a less taboo view. On our show, we will discuss the cannabis world through the perspective of various cannabis professionals. Tune in every Thursday evening, Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m., Talk Radio NYC, Planet Baco Lolo, a less taboo view.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And time is flashing past. I knew it would because we've got so many questions. And I am monitoring facebook.com/talkradioNYC. You can always watch us live there every week at 3 o'clock UK time, 10 a.m. Eastern Seaboard. And if you've got any questions, you can put them there. And I'm always looking so that we can answer all your questions. Dr. Rachel, we're going to have to go really quickly now. Women have lots of worries about the risks of HRT following the World Health Initiative report back in 2001, 2002, which had a really chilling effect on the prescription of HRT for women. And that has carried on, even though there's been a lot more research into it. Where would you say you stand at the moment on it? And I know you have no particular axe to grind on whether women take it or don't take it.
Right, exactly. I just want people to be informed and to have the accurate information. I'm not owned by anybody. I'm not making any money off of any drug company. So that's a good disclosure. That was one of the highlights and will continue to be one of the highlights at these annual meetings. But the Women's Health Initiative, just briefly, it's still ongoing and you can go to their website and see, but that early data, that 2002 data, when the world stopped, they stopped the study. The Women's Health Initiative was actually a cardiovascular study and women in that study were ages 50 to 79. So the key difference, if you take away nothing else from today, is the average age of women in that study was age 63. That is not the average age of who we're starting hormones on. In fact, it's pretty rare and kind of discouraged to start women on hormones more than 10 years after they've had their menopause before age 60. And so older patient population than who we would normally start hormones on, and actually the type of hormones they used are kind of our last choice, if you will, the equine, the horse urine estrogen, that we don't like that as much as far as her side effects. So right there, skewed view, when they redid the data and said, you know what, let's look at what it's like for the for patients that were actually putting on hormones in their 50s, those risks were not seen. And in fact, women just on estrogen actually had a lower risk of breast cancer. You can look at the Women's Health Initiative. Did we hear this? Did we see this in headlines? Was it out there? Absolutely not. And I would venture to say that most gynecologists have no idea about this either. I mean, you have to dig. And so, you know, that was absolutely the case. And so when they've redone the data and said, so it's a timing hypothesis. If you start this within 10 years of your menopause onset, there is, when you look at all cause mortality, it is less. Heart disease, it is less. Breast cancer, actually a little bit less. As far as blood clots, slightly more, very, very tiny, very, very tiny numbers. But that's the issue. People sleep better, their moods are better, way less osteoporosis, less colon cancer. So that's the bottom line. You know, as far as again, I don't have an axe to grind, but that's the big difference. And it's out there. It's on the Women's Health Initiative, but you really have to dig. I'm just going to give a quick shout out too for women when they leave this program, North American Menopause Society. If you go to menopause.org or my website, I don't get any money. This is my hospital, kyunamed.org. There's lots of little video clips kind of going into a little bit more detail on each aspect of hormone therapy and if it's right for you and what it's actually indicated for.
Yeah. So a question I often see is, how long should I stay on it?
Mm-hmm. So that old sort of saying, the lowest dose for the least amount of time is no longer a thing. Okay. Uh-huh. So that's not my opinion piece. That's just taken out. The time of onset is the most important as far as when assessing somebody's risk. But staying on it is not really felt to be, you know, it's something that needs to be ongoing addressed with your clinician, with your practitioner, because there are certain indications that you may want to get off of hormones if something changes in your health history, like your coronary arteries. Index is more concerning or whatever. And so there's a few of those things, but a lot of women, you know, can choose to stay on it forever. You know, it's more the timing of starting that is the biggest issue as far as assessing risk. But I will say, if somebody is just like, you know what, I don't want to be on all these medicines. I'm 70 years old now. I don't have hot flashes. Will I still, if I go off the hormones? Huge point. If you want to think about that, you have to do it very, very slowly, meaning over months weaning, probably several months, so you don't get that rebound effect. About 10 to 20% of women are lifetime flashers, meaning lifetime hot flashes, lifetime. And so, you know, chances are you might not be at that point, but to try to give it a good try, if that's really something that you want to do, just to simplify life or whatever, do it over months. But again, it is bone protective, certainly at that point.
And there are different formulations of HRT and there are different delivery systems. Could you say a little bit about that?
Yes. So the one is the equine estrogen, and that's horse derived. That's a mix of about 10 different types of estrogen. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the least preferable. There's another form called estradiol, which is what's made in the lab. It's to mimic our own body's estradiol. That's the predominant type of estrogen that we make. And same with, there's different types of progesterone, but the one that most accurately mimics our own body's production is called Prometrium. And so if you're talking to a menopause specialist, they're going to err more on that estradiol Prometrium side of things and felt to have less side effects. But yeah, there's less delivery systems. Transdermal, there's a lot to say about that. So the patch form or a gel or a mist bypasses the liver. There's probably less of a chance of blood clots with that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you have somebody who's a smoker or whatever, that might be something to consider in those patients. A word about, you had asked earlier, Pat, about bioidenticals. I want to just give a quick shout out with that.
Yeah, I do want to know about that because I get asked, is that the thing? Is that what I should be taking? And it's often promoted a lot by celebrities.
Exactly. Right. And so what's the straight talk on that? So the origin of bioidenticals briefly was to see a pharmacist about compounding something where what the traditional available hormone therapy was not an option for some women. You know, maybe they couldn't take pills or they had a rash with a patch or whatever. So it's like, I have intolerances to this, but I still need estrogen or whatever. And so the pharmacies would compound it. Fortunately, we really don't have to deal with that anymore because there are so many delivery systems. But bioidentical, I think a lot of people have this idea that it all comes from plants and because it's, you know, or it's derived naturally, that it is safe or regulated or any such thing. And the answer is absolutely not. And most bioidenticals that you're buying online or whatever, if it has any component of in it, it can be called a bioidentical.
And is there a difference between bioidentical and body identical?
I'm not sure, it's freezing right now.
Oh, no, you're okay. I can still...
I'm just going to keep talking here.
Yeah, just keep talking.
Sorry, Pat, I think you're frozen, but I'm just going to keep talking.
Yep, I think if you can just keep... I'm just going to check my hub. Excuse me while I stand up and have a look. No, I'm still good. So I'm not sure who's freezing. So yeah, I'm just asking about body identical because that's a phrase that was used with me at the weekend. And I wasn't sure whether there was a difference between body identical and bio identical. So hopefully when we get Rachel back, she'll be able to tell us. So yeah, this is a really important discussion because of the fear that's around HRT. And often this is feeling of, either it's the wonder drug, if I take HRT, that will be everything I need, or the people on the other side of, I'm never going to touch it. So there's very different views on it. That's why this discussion with Dr. Rachel is so important, to get that medical opinion about it. So you get really well informed. And then when you're going to see your general practitioner, your medical practitioner, whoever you're going to see, you go armed with some information, and then you can be what I call an intelligent client, that you're not just walking in and saying, this is what I'm experiencing, what can I have? That you're going in and saying, well, this is the research that I've done. I think this is suitable for me. Can I have this? And then you're having much more of a conversation with your general practitioner than just being given something and thinking, this isn't what I wanted. So this is really important stuff. And I appreciate what Rachel has to say about bioidentical. Coming back and walking down the corridor, walking and talking, it's not easy. She's just connecting back to the audio there. Dr. Rachel, you're back with me. Oh, and now you're muted. So I've got to wait till you unmute again. I can see your audio.
I'm unmuted. Yeah, blank. I don't know what.
So I was just asking you about whether there was a difference between body identical and bio identical. I just wondered if it was that kind of the extra estradiol rather than the mare's urine, whether that was the difference that we were looking at there.
Well, with the conjugated equine estrogen, again, it's a big combination of lots of lab derived different estrogen variants. So the equine, the mare derived estrogen, is just one component of it. Right. But again, if you want to think of bioidentical, it still comes from a lab. So it's lab derived. It really is kind of more of a marketing term, but it simply is just not regulated. So you really don't know what you're getting.
Yeah. So some of these things, you might look them up on the internet and you think, that's what I want. I want something bioidentical that's going to fit with my hormones. And you really need to do your research and go and see somebody who is medically qualified, who works in this area, rather than just relying that this is going to be a more natural alternative for you. Mm-hmm. And don't think, if I just take my HRT, it's a silver bullet, I'm going to be fine. Think about your diet as well. Think about your lifestyle, because all of these are factors. Think about the exercise you're taking. It's all important. So at this stage of life, it's not just, if I get through my menopause, I'll be fine. You're building the foundations for the rest of your life. And that's why this is so important. We're going to go to the break now. And when we come back, we'll be hearing Dr. Rachel's top tips. We'll see you after the break.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Well, welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where my guest in the studio today is Dr. Rachel Cady, and we're talking about hormone replacement therapy, and we're talking about what women need to know. Before I get to your top tip, Dr. Rachel, I want to know, is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't? Do you get any questions that I haven't asked you?
I think maybe a shout out to patients who have contraindications to taking hormone therapy. This conversation could go a million different ways, and I'm just so grateful for your platform, Pat. Breast cancer survivors in particular, in the majority of their cases, contraindicated to hormone therapy. One of the highlights from this year is that there is a new medication that directly targets the neurons in our hypothalamus, which controls our temperature, i.e. helps with hot flashes, not estrogen regulated. That's going to be a wonderful treatment for patients with contraindications. Same with people with blood clots. And so, all these different sort of cafeteria type symptoms of menopause, which is different for each patient, is individual. There are other treatments other than hormone therapy. I'm just saying that in most cases, that's where you get the most bang for your buck. But certainly there's second line treatments for all sorts of things, including vaginal atrophy, mood, sleep, hot flashes, for women who simply can't, or after being informed, simply won't take hormones. So I do not want to discount those patients. I think that a lot of times they do feel discounted, and it's 1 in 8 of us. So.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point. And in a way, this is a good time to be going through menopause, because there are more women going into perimenopause and menopause now, because those women have got more economic clout. It means that there is more attention being given to women's health and treatments for women's health. There's more femtech being developed to help women with apps and other ways to monitor what's going on with your health. So this is a good time, because there's much more attention. That's why we need to keep talking about it, because then the medical area, the medical industry pays more attention and thinks this is a market that we need to be in. And the market for women's health products is growing exponentially. It's in the trillions. So that's why there is a lot more attention around it. So we get to that point. What would you say is your top tip for women as they come into perimenopause?
Right. So I would say, first and foremost, education. I don't want women to be frightened. And there really are reliable sources. I'll name a few of them here in a minute to help navigate what should not be a completely frustrating journey. The average woman is living the last 40 years of her life, perimenopause, menopause. And so they're re-entering the healthcare system. Please take ownership of your health and don't be frightened and question. The other thing too, to that multi-trillion dollar industry, a lot of that is a waste of money. And so don't let fads take your, the headlines lead you astray. Go straight to the source. And so I'm going to just give a few highlights here, including the British Menopause Society. I have my little International Menopause Society website is wonderful. And I'm a member of that as well, but wonderful for accurate, just great patient information. I'm going to give a quick shout out as well to menopause.org, North American Menopause Society. This is not a I'm not just purely American. I'm just looking at this as something of a worldwide issue, but North American Menopause Society, menopause.org, wonderful videos, wonderful sources, cuts to the chase. Speakingofwomenshealth.com is from the Cleveland Clinic. Excellent. There's some again on my website, kyunamed.org. This book is really fun, Menopause Confidential. It's written by one of the leaders in menopause care. It's readable, it's insightful, and it's actually fun too, while being informative. So those are just a shout out to the organizations that actually do the studies, that are the voice for women, that are professional medical societies. And as I mentioned, the Women's Health Initiative, much research to be done. The National Institute of Health is begging for research, and certainly a lot of collaboration between US and other countries. So it's a joint effort. So really take control of your health. The other thing too is that it's more than hot flashes. We kind of touched on different things. I'll have women a lot of times in their 60s that come in and they say, oh, I'm done. I'm through that. I'm done with that. I don't have that anymore. But yet I'm having extreme pain with intercourse. I have incontinence. My joints hurt a lot. My skin's dry and my hair is falling out. Well, you have horrible menopause symptoms. And so, you know, it's not all hot flashes. Okay. And it's, you're either pre or post menopause, as I've said before. Don't ignore those symptoms. It's more than just hot flashes and certainly more than just estrogen, but go to the source, less gimmicky things. So.
Yeah. While you were trying to reconnect with us, I was talking about the fact it's really important to be an intelligent client of the health system. That you're going along to your medical practitioner with some understanding that you're not just walking in going, I don't know what's going on. That, you know, if you've reached 40 and you don't know anything about menopause, it's time to get educated. It's time to understand because you are in the zone, whether you want to be or not. And I know a lot of women go into denial. Talking about it doesn't bring it on. Okay. Right.
Exactly.
Talking about it, it helps.
Yes, we're an informed consumer. Three, to that point, Pat, three things that you can do when you are in your 40s, 50s, whatever, before you go in to see your provider is figure out what your heart risk assessment is. I mean, that's by far and away the leading killer cause of death of women. And that's, you can figure out your cardiovascular disease risk score online. GAIL model, the G-A-I-L breast cancer risk assessment. What's your breast cancer risk assessment? And then your FRAX score, F-R-A-X. And these are things that are widely available and widely recognized as good scores. So just some kind of risk factors to look at before you go in for your exam, as this is commonly when women are re-entering the healthcare system. You know, they've been out for oftentimes 20 years or so. So they're coming with different issues.
Yeah, and remember, this isn't just an issue for women in their 40s and 50s. Women can go into menopause at any time after they've had their period. So, you know, we get very young women, women in their 30s. If you've had a hysterectomy, some other medical procedure, if you've had cancer treatment, radiotherapy, there's a whole bunch of reasons why you might end up having menopause symptoms, even though you're not in your late 40s and 50s. This is why it's so important to get informed about it and to understand, and then to be able to go along to your medical practitioner who is very overburdened with dealing with stuff and say, okay, I've done my own research. This is what I think is happening, and actually have an adult conversation about it. Really important. And taking care of ourselves generally. We're in our final minutes, Dr. Rachel. Anything you'd like to say? I'm so grateful for you joining us today.
Well, Pat, I'm hugely grateful for your platform, and I welcome any questions after the show. And yeah, to your point, this is why your radio show could go on for decades to come, because you could do a whole show on premature ovarian insufficiency, on cancer survivors, endometriosis with early menopause. It goes on and on, and they're all important populations of people, and they're all wonderful subjects to talk about.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Rachel. I'm sure you've helped a lot of women to understand this so much more.
Well, they've helped me.
It's so important to look after our health and be intelligent clients at this stage. So if you want to get more informed about menopause, I'll be putting all these links up. Also, don't forget, I've written a book called Hot Women, Cool Solutions, and it's an easy read. And I have no skin in the game as to whether you go on HRT or do it any other way. So I'd like, have a look at Hot Women Cool Solutions. And on the website, hotwomencoolsolutions.com, there's also a number of bonuses that you can pick up. So stay tuned to talkradio.nyc. The next program is Dismantle Racism with Reverend Dr. Tara Lynn. And this week's subject is Black by Design. So that is going to be yet another powerful conversation with Dr. Tara Lynn. Thank you to my producer, Kyle, today for all his hard work. Thank you to the listeners. I'll be posting this up in my Hot Women Rock Radio Facebook page, and the recording will be available tomorrow on talkradio.nyc. I'll see you next week when we'll be talking about style. Style for women in their menopause. So see you next week. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Have a great week. It's lovely to see you.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hi, Carol.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.